See. Yeah. So glad that you're here. We have been in 1 Corinthians, so if you would turn there with me, we're going to finish up chapter 9 today. That's the plan anyway. And just to let you know, there will be a time when kids, I'm going to need your help, and so I'll let you know, so be listening for that, okay? And I'll have you help me with a part of it. The adults just need help understanding sometimes, so you'll be a good help, okay? As both Janae and Mike already shared, I just want to tell you just a little bit of my testimony. I started my first teaching in the church or way that I could serve on a consistent basis was in children's ministry. I had just graduated high school. Lindsay and I would come home on the weekends, and I got to be a part of teaching a children's small group. And I just want to tell you, it was some of the most growth in my own walk and maturity, as I had to prepare to teach, which means that I needed to know what I was teaching, and so it caused me to dive into the Word. It also, as kids, as you well know, kids ask hard questions sometimes, and I want to tell you, and still to this day, this is my practice. If you ask me a question I don't know, I'll look at you and say, I don't know. But then what I've learned that it does is it causes me to want to understand, and so I dive into the Word of God. I would come the next week and I'd say, hey, you know, Johnny asked me this question, and here's what I found out. Here's what the Lord pointed me to, or sometimes I just had to say, and I still don't know, you know. And so I think sometimes we feel like we have to know it all. You don't, and you're just honest, and what we're doing is we're seeking the Lord together. And this is a way that the Lord can use you. He does call us to do hard things, and he grows us in the midst of that. All right? So just my little plug there. If the Lord is leading you to do that, be obedient. And I promise he equips as he calls. And so trust him in that. He'll grow you and use you. Here in 1 Corinthians, Corinth is a city, a lot of immorality going on. There were temples set up to false gods. There were people that had traveled all the time and were traveling through this city, and so immorality was rampant. There were temple prostitutes and just a way that people saw sexual immorality that faced so many questions within the church. We have dove into a lot of that in the first few chapters. Here, starting in chapter, if you look in chapter 7, verse 1, he says, now concerning the matters about which you wrote. So they had sent him some questions, and he's tackling them. One of the questions was meat offered to idols. And ultimately, he was letting them know how to handle that. And the way in which he answered it, though, was different than probably they were expecting. He didn't give a blanket yes or no, but in other words, what he did was he taught them a principle of life. We are free. We can make our own decisions. We don't have to submit ourselves to anyone except the Lord, and in that, he will lead us. And so with many of the freedoms, we talked about several of them, gambling, drinking, you know, is it okay to be on social media for multiple hours a day? Is it okay to binge watch series on Netflix or any of the other things? It's all these questions that the Bible does not give us clarity on. How do we answer those questions in our walk? And with all of these, there are questions that we can ask of the Lord that he'll lead us to his truth. And Paul, ultimately, the way that he explains it is he says, you know, there are people watching. And so because of that, I would gladly lay down my liberties or my freedoms for the sake of my brother. Like, I want to make sure that something that I do, even meat offered to idols, is one of those examples. Because he says, we all know that these idols are false gods. They're no god at all. So it doesn't matter. Eat the meat. But then there are some people, because they were weak and they haven't yet learned that, they would say, I would never eat meat offered to these false gods because it's polluted by the false gods. And so he says, so they shouldn't eat. And he says, so, because of my love for my brother, I'm not going to eat meat. You see what I'm saying? Like, it changes the way, perspective of which we live our lives. And that is the thing that I want us, the challenge that I want us to think, is that because we have surrendered our life to Jesus, we have said that we're going to live life your way, not my way. And in that, that means that we have questions to ask. And so look at chapter 10, look at the end of chapter 10, starting in verse 31. This is how he brings it all together. We'll hit it when we get into chapter 10, but I want you to see. So whether you eat or drink, so whether you're talking about meat offered to idols or you're drinking something, here's what he says, or whatever you do, everything you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to the Jews or Greeks, right? So don't give an offense. Like, in other words, what he's going to tackle in our passage today is like, to the Jew, I'll become like the Jew. To those who are not Jews, I'll become like them. To the weak, I'll become like the weak. Why? For the sake of the gospel. Like, the gospel is at stake in the way that you and I live our lives. And so because of that, there is a priority far beyond my own comforts, my own wants, my own desires. So therefore, with the gospel at stake, everything I do, I will take serious. Whatever you do, eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Give no offense to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, not personal, not trying to be comforted, not trying to stay where it's comfortable, but that of many that they may be saved. So he says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Do what I do. Take serious your actions. Take serious your decisions. People are watching. Your kids are watching. Your family's watching. The lost around you, your neighbors, they're watching. And sometimes I think we give confusing, we confuse them because our words, or we say we are a follower of Jesus, but then our actions don't match even what sometimes those who are not Christians would think that we would act. So, you see the seriousness of it. And so Paul, here he's writing, he's instructing the church, the gospel, eternity is at stake. And so, why then, we see in him as he goes, he plants churches, he shares the gospel, why is evangelism so powerful in the life of Paul? Well, a couple of things. First, we see it's a powerful message. The gospel in Romans 1:16 says that the gospel is the power unto salvation. The gospel, the good news. We'll unpack that here in just a second. But the gospel, the good news. So the message itself is powerful. That Jesus came, he died, he rose from the dead, and that in faith in him, we can be free. We can be forgiven. We can have new life. That's hope, and there's power in it. He was motivated by love. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says it this way. He says in verse 14, for the love of Christ, some translation says compels us. Some say controls us. In other words, it's all because of the love of Jesus. Here I was, separated from him, a sinner, only an object of wrath, and yet the love of Christ came. He showed me. He came to me. He healed me. And he says, so the old is gone. The new has come. We now have a ministry of reconciliation. And he's entrusted us with this message. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of Christ. Oh, so good. There's this divine call. He even reminds us of it in verse 16. He says that, for if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity it is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For Paul, preaching the gospel was something that he couldn't even imagine going without. Like, I know the way of salvation. Why would I not share it with someone, right? We live in a day and time where cancer is rampant. And I'm just telling you, if you had the cure of cancer, you would do all that you could to get it out to the masses. You'd be telling everyone about it. And that's just for a physical healing. Think about an eternal healing, right? Which is far greater. That's what you hold the key to. You hold the life preserver for salvation. Power of the Holy Spirit. Our job is not to save people. Our job is to proclaim the gospel, and then the power of the Holy Spirit does the rest. Amen? So, knowing that, your responsibility is one. I love how Paul explains this in Romans chapter 10. He says that we have been sent. And in being sent, we are to preach or to proclaim or to share the gospel. And that when we share the gospel, people will hear. And when they hear, some will believe. And all who believe, they'll call upon the name of the Lord, and everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. The only way that breaks down is when those who have been sent don't share, don't proclaim, don't share. So, you see that the gospel is the power. But the problem is, even as Jesus would say, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send out workers. You and I, we are the workers. We hold the keys. We are to proclaim and share. And so, all sorts of things flood our mind, though, as soon as that's said. Well, I don't know enough. Well, what if they ask questions I can't answer? Or that feels really awkward, or that's uncomfortable. I'm not going to do that. And I think it's because we prioritize our comforts above the kingdom of God. And so to help us to see that, or bring us to the last one here, is Paul definitely prioritized the kingdom of God. How do we know? Well, he was able to lay down comforts. He was able to lay down rights. He was able, for the sake of the gospel, do whatever it took so that people would hear. Throughout my walk with the Lord, there have been seasons where it seems like the urgency would wane at times. I've noticed this is kind of a season for that, and so this week has been very challenging for me, just that that God would renew an urgency to proclaim the gospel. As we talk about the gospel, I think that there's a small group right now who is studying Revelations, or at least looking at that. And throughout Revelations, it points to Jesus coming. And one of the things that I think the way that Revelation is written was so that there would be an urgency to preach the gospel, because we don't know when he's going to come back. Amen? But one of the things about this urgency is, we must be reminded, and we don't like talking about it, but we must be reminded that wrath is promised. Like, the wrath of God is coming upon those who are separated from God. Amen? Just to remind us of a few verses, Romans chapter 1, verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." 2:5, "But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed." Romans 5, "Even after God has said that his great love for us is while we were yet sinners, Christ died," this is what he says, "Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God." The wrath of God is coming. I could keep going. I have several more verses. But the whole point is, God has sent Jesus so that you and I can be saved from the wrath of God. Now, it's not just us. It's the people all around us. All right, kids, are you ready? I need your help. Come here. All the kids, come up here. Come grab a seat. I'm going to need your help. Janae has a couple of things to help me. Where are you at, Janae? All right, you guys got them. All right, that's good. All right, come on up. Grab a seat. Grab a seat here. I need your help. Come on. Come on. All right, good job, guys. So, I'm going to need a couple of volunteers. Grab a seat. Grab a seat, and then I'll get you some help. All right, a couple of volunteers. All right, these are the help right here. All right, here we go. So, a couple of volunteers. Any volunteers? Can you help me? Okay, let's have you go. Come here for just a second. All right, right here. Come here. And then any of the far end one. Okay, you have that. So right here. Yep. All right, so three, maybe one more. Would you mind helping me since you're already here? Would that be okay? All right, so what I want you guys to do, here's your job. I want you to spread out in here, okay? Go somewhere in here. You guys spread out, okay? It's not tag or anything, but just spread out. Anywhere in here, you guys can decide. You can go way back there if you want, wherever you want. Just spread out. Like, you can go anywhere in here. Go anywhere. Man, you go like way over. All right, you guys see him? Now, so pretend with me. How many of you guys have ever been to the beach? Anyone? You guys been to the beach?
Been once.
Okay, so the beach is an awesome place to go. But one thing about the beach is, with the waves coming in, sometimes there's currents that we got to be careful of, right? And so let's just imagine with me. Are you guys imagining you're at the beach? You want to come grab a seat right here? OK. Imagine with me, we're at the beach, and you're playing on the beach, and you look out in the water, and in the water you see someone, and it kind of looks like they're struggling, like maybe they don't know how to swim or something, but you're watching, and just then you think, you know, I think they're drowning. And so you don't know what to do. Are you trained lifeguards? Anyone trained lifeguards? None of you are? Okay. Yeah. But let's just say you're not, okay, even though you are. But let's just say you're not. And you're like, what do I do, right? What do I do? They're out there. They're drowning. Someone's got to do something. And just then you see the lifeguard. He's down the beach a little bit, but he sees them now. And he doesn't yell for them. He doesn't give them instructions at all. You know what he does? He just runs and jumps in the water, swims out to them, and he has one of these, and he says, hey, here you go. And he hands it to the person who's struggling. What do you think they would do? They would take it, wouldn't it? They would grab a hold of it, and then he would drag them to shore. And so he was able to save them. Isn't that an awesome story? But did you know that maybe Jesus is kind of like that lifeguard where he didn't wait, he didn't give instructions like tell him what to do, you know, hey, you need to change your clothes, then you'd swim better. Or he didn't like say, hey, try it like this, and then I'll come get you. Or, hey, swim to the side out of the current. You know what he did? Jesus came and took us right where we were at in the midst of our struggles. Anyone have that testimony? Like, man, he came to me in the midst. Come on, don't be ashamed of it. You got that testimony? He came to me in the midst of the filth, right? And he came and saved us. And so, here's what I'm going to need. If you guys have your... Did you know that once we have trusted in Jesus, we now have the ability to help others to be saved? And so there are some kids out here that are struggling out there. And listen, adults, sometimes we see it. Like, we see the struggle. We see that they're in life. We see that, man, they're being pulled away from the Lord, that they are everything about them. Like, we can see it even. And sometimes we're like sitting around, man, someone really needs to do something. Someone probably needs to tell them about Jesus because, man, they're struggling. They're being pulled away from God right now. And sometimes we'll even have our small group pray for them. I think that's great. We need to be praying for them. But sometimes it may mean that we're willing to go out and do hard things. And so, hey, there's some kids out here struggling, and you guys have something to help them. Would you guys go to them and offer them and see if they want to be saved? Okay, go to them right now. If you have a... Go find them. They're out here somewhere. Ask them if they'd like it. All right, did we get everyone? There's one more over here. Right here, this one. Don't forget. Oh, got him. All right. All right, give kids a hand. Thank you guys so much. Thank you. All right, you guys can go grab a seat. Go grab a seat. Go find your parents. If you want to sit next to different parents, now's the time, you know. Thanks, Janae, for your help. So, do you guys get the picture? Sometimes this is us. We have been saved by Jesus. He has come to us in the midst of our struggle. We were out there trying to survive. And now that even when we look back, we're saying, man, I was drowning. I didn't know it, but I was drowning. I tried everything in life. But Jesus came to me. And he showed me that he loved me. And he brought me out of that. And now, here's the calling. Jesus says, as I've been sent, so I send you. And in being sent, we are to have a different perspective now. No longer is life supposed to be centered around me, where it's all about what I can accumulate, the comforts I can have, the make sure that our life is all fit together, that, you know, me and my spouse, you know, everything's working just fine. We don't ever have an argument. We've got 2.5 kids like we're supposed to, and all the things is just going to go good. No, we are in the midst of the battle. And when we have a perspective that is different than this world, then we will start to think about eternity. And when we put our minds upon eternity, we start to see people differently. And then the mundane things of life or potential even arguments that we would have or focus on, they're not that big of a deal in compared to eternity. We stop looking to our spouse to fulfill us because we have a God who promises that he will. Amen? We'll stop looking to our job to somehow define us when we have a God who has already given us the identity. You are called, and whatever, wherever you are, you are called to be a disciple maker. You are called to be a proclaimer of the excellencies of God. Brings us to where we're at today. If you don't mind, stand with me and we'll get started on today's message. We'll start in verse 19 of chapter 9. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all. Man, just a selflessness, right? I've made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. Those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not beat as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask today, bring about, renew an urgency for the sake of the gospel. Help us to be willing to surrender our wants, our desires, our own plans, and surrender to yours. So, Lord, we love you. Lead us. Help us to make an impact in those around us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Two things, and we'll be done. Thank you. You can be seated. Two things. First one is we must learn to deny self. Self-denial should be something that we are willing to do. I should be willing to sacrifice my wants, my desires for the sake of the gospel. Eternity is at stake. Listen, Bible tells us that life is just a mist, a vapor, here 1 minute, gone the next. And man, I just turned 44. I'm not saying that's old. I'm just saying it goes fast, doesn't it? And my girls, I have one getting ready to graduate, and I'm just saying it happens fast, and you're told that all your life. And then you wake up one day, and you're like, wow, everyone's right. And we don't know when our last breath is, but as we think about, it could be later today, it could be tomorrow, it could be next week, it could be many years from now, but the thing is that we must realize that I can do it with purpose. And so, he says to the Jews, he became like the Jew. In other words, he submitted himself to their customs while he was with them so that he could teach them, he could preach to them. He even went so far and had Timothy circumcised just so there would not be any obstacle to the gospel. He even preached himself, Paul, that you don't have to be circumcised, but he wanted to make sure that Timothy could go anywhere amongst any people for the sake of the gospel. To those under the law, he was respectful, but yet he made sure that he taught about the grace. To those without the law, he made sure that when he was amongst Gentiles and Greeks, that he could teach them and help them to see where hope was found. To the weak, he became weak, became like them, so that he could share the gospel. Do you see this self-denial? Like, it's not about me. This life is not putting me in the center of this thing. I was talking to a girl this week. She had lost her grandma back several years ago, and she says it still hurts. It's still hard, and that is true. It's going to. In no way can we take away the pain. Like, grief is real, and sometimes we feel it, and sometimes it can be crippling at times. But I had to remind her that God did not do that to her, right? God has a plan, and he has a plan, and he wants us. This is not our home. There is brokenness in this world. Let the hard things of life remind you of that. There is brokenness, and there are people without hope. Let us be quick to share with them where hope is found. Second thing I want you to see is we're to be self-controlled. Self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And as a part of having the fruit of the Spirit, I just believe as Christians, because we have self-control, I think something I'm working on in my life, I think as Christians, we should be the healthiest of all people because we have self-control. We don't have to turn to sugar because we have self-control to overcome that. We don't have to turn to whatever, we don't have to fulfill what our body desires, right? We have self-control. We see this in sin. We see this in our pursuits of God. And so, we see as Paul puts it, he says, run the race in such a way to win. Only one wins, and so you and I are to run with purpose. We're to win the prize. And he says, think of these people who enter into strict training. They do so to win a crown that is perishable. It was literally leaves or vines tied together, branches, and yet, the crown that we live for, the crown that we are promised, is eternal. And so, understand that. We can be self-controlled. And we're to be self-controlled in all things, in food, in drink, sleep. Think of how a runner, an Olympic runner, would have to be self-controlled in all areas of life, right? They're going to have to watch what they eat. They're going to have to watch how much sleep they get. They're going to have to watch, and they're going to go into strict training. All of these things they'll be focused upon. And that's the thing I want us to see. In verse 26, we are not to just beat as though we're beating against the air. No, we live life with purpose now. You're not just amongst the people of this world doing whatever it is you want to do and you're going to end up somewhere. No, you have purpose. You have a God who has all power and all authority and is in control. Trust him and trust his plan. And listen, it goes far beyond just cleaning ourselves up so that we look good compared to other people. We have a purpose. And he has saved us to be a part of his mission. And so listen, that does not mean we wait until one day when we feel as though we're ready for the mission. We prepare ourselves now. You have a purpose. And just like a runner, you're to train. If you don't feel like you know enough, then get training. On September 28th, we're going to have a time where we have evangelism training, where someone's going to come and share with us and teach us how you can share the gospel and it be, because it's the way of salvation. We need to be ready for that. We have more resources today than any other time in history. You can literally do college classes online for free right now. You can pull up YouTube and learn how to share the gospel and even watch as people go to the streets to share the gospel. What I'm saying is that we have no excuse other than our laziness or our discomfort. And I'm just saying one day when we stand before God, that's probably not going to be something that will fly, right? Well, God, you know, I worked really hard each day, and so when I got home, it was going to be uncomfortable to step out and to share the gospel with someone. And so I just decided that there's probably other people that are better suited, right? We're telling God what we are or aren't going to do. That doesn't sound like we've made him Lord, right? It doesn't sound like we've surrendered our life to his lordship. It sounds like we're still on the throne. And so I'm just saying, what kind of excuse will fly as we stand before God? Here's what I've called you to do. Here's what I've placed my spirit in you to do. Shouldn't we be willing to say, okay, God, I'm ready. Here I am. What do I need to do to get ready? It might mean that you go to a couple of people and say, you know what? I know God's called me to maturity, but I don't feel like I'm there. Can we meet on a regular basis so that I will become more mature, so that I will learn and grow and become more like him? I'm telling you. Kind of sounds like making disciples, like that's what he wants us to do. That's the mission. And so let us come before him. Let us submit ourselves to him so that we could do that. One thing about a runner is disciplined. He's disciplined. Look at verse 27 with me. He says it this way. He goes, but I discipline my body and keep it under control. I keep my body under control. discipline. Discipline is something, in other words, I'm not going to let my body, my own passions, my own desires, my own yearnings, I'm not going to let them tell me what to do. I'm going to discipline my body. I'm going to tell my body what it's to do. I'm going to, as I run after Jesus, I'm going to be obedient to him. In other words, I'm going to make sure that I don't run after the passions. Listen, Paul was one. He wasn't perfect. He tells us that the things he wanted to do, he didn't do. The very things he didn't want to do, he found himself doing. And so here is a guy who knows the battle and is telling us that if we will focus and live with a different perspective and run after Jesus and make ourselves a part of the mission, it's really hard to become distracted with things that don't really matter for eternity if I have my life focused upon it, right? And so for you and for me, we must surrender our desires. We must beat our body, discipline our body, keep it under control so that we will fulfill the mission. It's hard. There's not going to be anything that God calls you to that will not require faith. And in that, we must put our faith in Jesus, who has given us all that we need for life and for godliness. And so, what does this mean for us? In the way of application, what disciplines do you need to embrace in your life? If right now, as a believer, which is all about a relationship with Jesus, if you're not spending time with him on a regular basis, then I just want to tell you your relationship with Jesus is struggling, if you even have one. Spend time with him. Plan time to spend with Jesus. Open his word. If you don't know how to do that, ask somebody around you who you look up to. Get involved in a small group. That's a discipline that sometimes is a little bit uncomfortable at first, but I want to tell you is one of the most life-giving things that me and my wife do. It's connected with other believers on a regular basis. We're challenged by them. We're encouraged by our small group. I'm so thankful for that. Embrace some disciplines in your life. Are you sharing the gospel? This is a discipline that challenges. So I've taught multiple different ways to share the gospel. The three circles, one that I use just to keep me focused is one hope, right? There's one God, and he is good, he is holy, but there's one problem. One problem is you and I are not holy. We are sinners. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And one of the things that as I share the gospel is I want someone to understand their lostness, their brokenness. There is a problem. I even go so far as to ask them, if you died and you stood before God, would you be innocent or guilty? And I help them to see that the weight of the guiltiness, right, that the wrath of God is now upon them, but there's one hope. God has sent Jesus. He loves you. He loves me. And Jesus died upon the cross, paying the price for our sin. Now, one of the things, and the last one is there's one decision. Am I going to grab the life preserver? Am I going to put my faith and trust in Jesus? You see, there's a decision. But of those four, we have to learn to begin to thread the gospel into everyday conversations. Right now, it's becoming fall. Everything's nice outside, right? The temperature's starting to cool down. People are quick to talk about. You can even be pumping gas, and the guy next to you is like, man, it's a beautiful day. What a great opportunity to thread parts of the gospel. You know, there's one God, and he is so good. He created all of this, didn't he? Isn't that awesome? Right? We can talk about him being holy. There was a shooting this past week, as there's been a lot going on, a brokenness of this world. Someone brings it up. Man, did you hear about the shooting? Yeah, man, there's a problem in this world, isn't there? There's brokenness. I can thread that gospel, thread of the gospel into everyday conversations. Man, people are broken, separated from God. And man, it shows in loss and death and all that is going on. And then even you can personalize it and go, you know, you and I, we're also separated from God. And then I can point to where hope is found. And so, man, a discipline of seeing opportunities to share that. The second one, are you running with purpose? Think about this for yourself right now. Ask yourself, am I running with purpose? Am I allowing God to be the Lord of my life? Am I allowing him through Jesus in you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, are you allowing him to proclaim Jesus with others? Are you positioning yourself to do that? Are you growing in him? What do you need to let go of? Last night we had one of our members who did a 24-hour walk just to bring awareness to unreached people groups, and he wore a weighted vest. I'm sure there were probably multiple times throughout it he would have loved to have taken that vest off, right? But there are some times we are trying to run the race that God has for us, and we're carrying all sorts of things from the past, hurt, unforgiveness, things that have been happened to us, whatever it is. I want to tell you, when I have my mind set upon eternity, a lot of those things that happen to me, it doesn't mean that they don't matter or that they are not real, but I want to tell you, sometimes the greatest thing that we can do is to trust that God will take care of those and run the race that he has set for us. Last thing is, as Jesus has been sent to you while you're out trying to tread water, trying to stay alive, will you say yes to Jesus? Will you allow him to save you? Will you put your faith and your trust in what Jesus did upon the cross? Today, as we are reminded of the urgency of the gospel, will you put your trust in Jesus? Will today you become and allow yourself to become a proclaimer of the gospel, the good news to the lost world? Let's bow before the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the challenge that you give us. We thank you for the calling that now that we have been recipients of reconciliation, we now have a ministry, every one of us, a ministry of reconciliation. You speaking through us to this lost world. And so I pray, Father, that we would allow you to do that. We would surrender to the mission, that we would be proclaimers of you to our coworkers, our neighbors, our family members, our friends. Help us to be inviters, that we would invite people to come to hear the truth. Help us to be proclaimers so that, Lord, as people hear the gospel, they would believe and they would call upon the name of Jesus. So God, we need you. I pray for some as maybe this morning they want to say yes to Jesus. They want to be like these two who were baptized this morning and say, I want to surrender my life to you. And Lord, they're not ashamed of who knows, but instead, Lord, that they follow you with their life. Speak to our hearts. Help us to respond today. Help it not just be something that we agree with and move on and make no changes, but today we choose, Lord, I'm going to trust you. Lord, I'm going to follow you. Lord, I believe you. Lead us. In the name of Jesus, we pray.